Menachas Perek Yud Aleph Mishnah Hay and Vav deal with the Shulchan and the Lechem Haponim, which was a little bit more complicated structure than the tables that we are used to. The actual Shulchan itself and the shape of the Lechem Haponim are discussed in Mishnah Hay. Mishnah Vav deals with the kind of superstructure that stood up on the sides of the actual Shulchan that provided essentially racks to hold the rows of Lechem Haponim, as we'll describe. So the Shulchan itself, as generally described, as seen in many of these illustrated books, especially the wonderful book, the Mishkan, the Tabernacle book that's been around forever, that has really wonderful models that were made based on the Psukim and the Gemaras that explain everything. The Shulchan itself was a table shaped much like the tables that we might have in our dining room. It's a table with four legs rather than any kind of pedestals or anything. On each corner, there was a leg, and then there was a frame that rested on top of those legs and was attached to it. On top of that frame, which was four legs and essentially a tabletop, there was a board that was the same size as the frame that rested on top of the frame. And it was a wooden board overlaid with gold. And then, going around the entire border, keeping the board attached to the frame that was on top of the legs, there was a rectangular golden, they called it a zer zahav in the Torah, a golden crown, which was the border that was an overlay, so that the Shulchan itself was essentially what looked like a table with four legs, like a kitchen table that we might have conventionally. But the Lechem Haponim, there would not be room for all 12 loaves on just a flat tabletop like that, so there was a set of racks that came up the sides and were connected by pipes that went across, which is where the Lechem Haponim rested upon. So Mishnah Hay begins, HaShulchan, with the measurements, Arko Asara V'Rachbo Chamisha, and this is Rabbi Yehuda's point of view. He said that the Shulchan itself was 10 Tfachim long and 5 Tfachim wide. The Torah doesn't say anything about Tfachim. It says it should be 2 Amos by 1 Amma. Rabbi Yehuda holds that in the Beis HaMikdash, even though an Amma is usually 6 Tfachim, Beis HaMikdash measurements, they used 5 Tfachim. That makes the Shulchan 5 by 10, because 1 Amma is 5, and the 2 Amma length would be 10 Tfachim. There is going to be an opinion that disagrees and says we go with the conventional 6 multiplier, and that's Rabbi Meir. In the meantime, the Lechem Haponim Orko Asara V'Rachbo Chamisha, the Lechem Haponim loaves were also 10 by 5, 10 long and 5 wide, which is something that we mentioned in the previous Mishnah, and no sein arko keneged rachbo shel shulchan. And they would place each loaf lengthwise across the width of the table. So the width of the shulchan is 5 tvachim, and the width, the length, the long part of the loaf was 10. That means you're hanging over by 2.5 tvachim on each side. So how would they make it fit the shulchan if it was too long? It was twice as long. So he would place it that way. V'chovel tvachayim u'mechtza mikan. U'tvachayim u'mechtza mikan. And what they would do is bend over. They would turn up the side of the Lechem Haponim loaf 2.5 tvachim on one side, 2.5 tvachim on the other side, so that now the full length was the same 5 tvachim as the Shulchan itself. So now you have a 5 tefach Lechem Haponim with 2.5 tvachim sticking up on either side, and some say that then he would bend it over. And the question is, at what stage would they do this? So some say it was done during the kneading and shaping process of the loaves, so that it would actually bake in the appropriate shape. Others say that they found a way when it was still hot, presumably, to be able to bend it without cracking it, which would be quite a feat to be able to do such a thing. So we find then that Nimtza Arko Mamale Kol Rochbo Shel Shulchan Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. In Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, which this entire first segment of the Mishnah was, we find that the length, which is now 5, with then the 2.5 bent over on either side, filled up the entire 5 tefach width of the Shulchan. So it was exactly as long as the Shulchan was wide. It fit squarely right into that same 5 tefachin. Rabbi Meir Omer, HaShulchan Orko Shneimosav Rachbo Shisha. Rabbi Meir says we use base 6, not base 5. An Amma is 6 tefachim, therefore the width of one Amma was 6 tefachim wide, and the length which was 2 amos, was 12 tfachim long. Lechem haponim arko asara. However, as we said in the previous Mishnah, the Lechem HaPonim was only 10 long, v'rachbo chamisha, and 5 wide. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it was the same dimensions as the Shulchan. According to Rabbi Meir, it was 2 tefachim less in length, and 1 tefach shorter in width. So no saying arko keneged rachbo shel Shulchan. He would do the same thing that Rabbi Yehuda described by laying the length across the wide part of the Shulchan, so that there was a little bit sticking over on both sides. But since it's 10 sticking over from a Shulchan that was 6, he doesn't need 2.5 extra, he only has 2 extra on either side. Since the Lechem upon him was 10 Tvachim, and the width of the Shulchan was 6, he only needed to bend up 2 Tvachim on either side, instead of Rabbi Yehuda's version, which had 2.5. Utvachayim Revach Boemtza. But when he did so, and this left a little space, it left 2 tfachim of revach, of space, in between, in the middle, between each 2 rows along the length of the shulchan. Since the width of the lechem aponim was only 5 tfachim, 2 rows of lechem aponim occupied only 10 tfachim. In other words, you put one next to each other along the width of the shulchan. You're kind of putting them along the line. Remember, we have 2 rows of lechem aponim that are going to stretch above. And so we have 1 on the front half and 1 on the back half. But because they're only 5 wide apiece, that makes a total of 10. That leaves 2 tfachim of the 12 length empty. So there was a space between the rows of Lechem HaPonim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there was no space because it all equaled exactly 10. It was all base 5s. But now, by having the Lechem being 5 and the Shulchan being 6, or in this case, the Lechem being 10 and the Shulchan being 12, there would be a little space between the rows, and hopefully you can visualize this as they stacked the rows up, occupying the airspace above the Shulchan. Abishol Omer, Abishol says, and this is Kadesh Tehe Ruach Menashev Es Beinehan, so there's a little space in between, so that the air gets in between, and this would prevent any mold or anything from the lechem that was touching each other, because they weren't touching each other. There was a little airspace in between. Normally, that would cause staleness to come to bread, but the lechem upon them were a miraculous situation, and that wouldn't happen. Abishol Omer, Sham HaYunosnim Shnei Bezichei Levona Shal Lechem Upon Him. Abishol says, based on Rabbi Meir's opinion, what would they put in those 2 tefachim in between? They would put the 2 bowls, the 2 dishes, which would have Levona, the frankincense, in between, and they would go in between Lechem Aponim. Those were going to be burnt on the Mizbeach at the end of the week, and then the Lechem Aponim would be eaten by the Kohanim. So the Chachamim asked him, Amru lo, v'aluk v'arnemar v'nosato alam areches Levona zaka. Doesn't it say in the Torah that you will put pure frankincense upon each row? Not between the rows, like you're saying, but upon each row, on top of them. He brought a proof from Parshas Vamidbar. He says, Olav, upon him, the Shevet Menashe, which meant beside him. When it was talking about the Degolim and the marching orders in the Midbar, it called it Olav, but Olav meant next to, not on top of. So Olav can mean next to, it's a preposition that is flexible, and in this case it means the exact same thing. Now, Mishnah Vav continues the section of the Shulchan where the Lechem Aponim are actually going to be propped up from. And these were vertical pipes. According to the art scroll drawings, it's just a couple of ugly-looking boards. But if you look at the old Mishkan book and you look at some of the slightly more interesting interpretations of it physically, because it's described in the Torah as Menachiosav, the bowls of it. And so they say that it's pipes that have kind of bulges on it that look a little bit like bulbs. But in any case, along each side, there are going to be 2 of these vertical structures. So you've got Arba Sanifim Shel Zahav HaYusham. Along the outsides of the Shulchan, 2 on each side, were 4 golden attachments, or props, as they called them, to make vertical surfaces so that you'll have horizontal pipes going across that the bread is going to rest upon. So this is very much like those big trays that the caterers have, where you have this big rack on wheels, and the trays can be shoved in and out like a bakery tray or a caterer tray, and you can shove them in and out of these little protuberances that go on the side, so they're hanging. So they've got two vertical structures on each side, muftsalin me'roshehem, and they were forked or branched at the top, which is another reason that the art scroll drawing of a flat board doesn't sound right, because they were supposed to be kind of forked or branched, that the lechem hapanim would be supported upon them. Shnayim l'seder zeh, two along one long side of the shulchan. So according to Rabbi Meir, that's the 12 tefachim side. According to Rabbi Huda, it's the 10 tefachim side. But it's the long side, so it's two of these props next to each other. Ushnayim l'seder zeh, and opposite, two props on the side, the other side of the shulchan. Ve'esrim ushmona kanim, kachasi kane cholul. And going across above the shulchan, between the opposite structures on either side, were long pipes, or in the shape of a half a reed that was hollow. So it would be a semicircle kind of shape with a sort of hollow in the middle. This way air would travel in between. Some say they were perforated. There's a discussion of how they were attached to the props on the sides. Most hold that they were holes in the vertical structure so that you would put the pipe in on both sides and it would hang from it like that. Arba asr l'seder zeh, v'arba asr l'seder zeh. And the way they were arranged is it was 14 of these semicircle long pipes or rods for one row of the lechem aponim, for the six loaves, and the other 14 rods were for the other row. And the way that they were arranged was that two lechem aponim would be on top of the actual shulchan, that's the bottom layer. Then, for the next four, because it's going to be six, one on bottom, one on top, and four in between, there would be three of these pipes or rods holding it up. So that makes 12. And then the top level of lechem aponim would only need two rods under it, because the top layer didn't have another layer on top of it, so it didn't have to bear as much heavy weight. So it was essentially 3-3-3-3-2 in terms of the 14 long pipes and how they were arranged going across the surface of the shulchan. And as it points out in the Mishnah, lo sidur kanim velo netilas andocha es ha-shabbos. Now, neither the placing of these pipes or rods for the new lechem aponim or the removal from the previous set of lechem aponim were allowed to override Shabbos, allowed to be Deicha Shabbos, because you would be able to do this before Shabbos. So instead, because the lechem aponim, the old, are replaced with the new on Shabbos, what they would have to do is, Ela nichnas me'erev Shabbos for Shomtan. On Erev Shabbos, the Kohen would go in, take the rods out, and after taking them out, leaving the lechem aponim there, resting on top of the lechem aponim below it. So without having the rod suspending it, it was resting directly on the bread that was beneath it. And he put them in the space between the rows. According to Rabbi Meir's point of view, he would take the rods and put them in the space of two tefachim that goes in between the five tefach lechem aponim on one side and the five tefach lechem aponim stack on the other side. So according to Rabbi Meir, he would put them in there. Other people would say that he would put them down off the shulchan, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, there was no space to put them in. And so he would take the rods out, and when it came time to take out the old lechem aponim and put in the new one, there would be no rods holding it up. And so he would take out the old lechem aponim and put in new lechem aponim without pipes underneath, and Matzei Shabbos, they would put the pipes in to support the rows of lechem upon him. So for a couple of hours, or even for almost half a day, at the end of the week and at the beginning of the week, meaning on Shabbos, the old ones would be just lying in a stack right on top of each other, and the new ones would be in a stack on top of each other until Matzei Shabbos, when he could stick the pipes in. Furthermore, we learn something from this idea of Vinosnan L'Arko Shel Shulchan. They were put parallel the long way with the long side of the Shulchan. As the Mishnah now says, Kol HaKelim Shayu BaMikdash Arkon L'Arko Shel Bayis. This is kind of ADD perfect Judaism that we're talking about. If you put any Kelim down that were long-shaped, then you always put them lengthwise from east to west, along the loin side of the shulchan, parallel to that. You never did them perpendicular, north-south. You always did them east-west. So everything you put on the floor, if there was a situation, or on a base of some kind that was on the floor, it was always put the long way east-west. The only keli in the Beis HaMikdash that was an exception to this was the aron. The aron went north-south, and it went parallel to the width of the Beis HaMikdash. And so they say that everything else had to be put along the same east-west line, so that everything was done purposefully and with the proper orientation.